hope we hold this starlit night. A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, praise his name, Emmanuel. The Son of God, here born to bleed, a crown of thorns would pierce his brow, and we beheld this offering, exalted now the King of Kings. Praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, praise his name, Emmanuel, praise his name,
Well, good evening to you all. My name's Tim Sinclair. I'm the minister here at Partick Trinity, and it's my privilege to welcome you into our building this evening for a night of carols and readings as together we get ready to celebrate Christmas. Now, just a couple of things that have popped up on the screen. We're still required by law to wear face coverings when we come together in worship, and that includes when we're singing, unless you have a medical exemption. And we just encourage one another to keep each other safe, and for each other to feel safe, please allow a respectful distance, particularly at the end as we're all trying to head out the door at the same time. And perhaps if you're part of this church or part of the local Partick community, you've been to services like that, like this in the past. And this year, for all sorts of obvious reasons, things are a little bit different. I'm not surrounded by a choir this evening. And we're also live streaming tonight, knowing that there'll be a number of people who'll be joining us, singing their hearts out from their living room. And we're thrilled that people at home can join with us as well. And overall, what we do tonight will perhaps be shorter and simpler than what we're used to. But I hope in the midst of it all, as we gather under the lights, as we hear the words of the carols and the words from Scripture, we do have that sense of hearing what the shepherds were told by the angels, that here is good news of great joy for all the people. And just to explain how this evening will work, on the screens you will at various points see songs being introduced, and that's your invitation, if you're able, to please stand and join in singing each one of the carols. And we'll also have a number of video clips with members of the Partick Trinity Church family reading passages from Scripture. And there'll be one or two other pauses along the way as we take time to pray and to hear a spoken word reflection on the theme of hope. But I'm absolutely thrilled that you can join us here this evening. And let's now begin this time of worship together by singing the great carol, Silent Night. And invite you to stand.
The prophet Isaiah foretells the coming of the Savior. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let us pray. God our Father, tonight we come together just as we are. Some tired, many anxious, all of us carrying different hopes and fears about the coming days, but glad to be together. And you know what we need and what we long for. You know how we crave for good news. Help us to know that the good news of Christmas is good news for us. That your Son has come to us, taking our burdens and giving us his rest. And so we pray that you would meet with us tonight, as we reflect together on the mystery and miracle of Christmas. we might know you better. That in our singing and in our listening, in our waiting and in our hoping, we might know truly that you are God with us. And as we think about these things, we ask that you would awaken within us the spirit that says, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. We ask these things through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Greets Mary. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Mm-hmm. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
We can't live without hope. It's one of the ways we cope. In a world where viruses spike and death can strike at any time, we have two options: cower in despair and run away, or hope, trusting that tomorrow will be better than today. When times are hard, we'll take anything. A new year, a vaccine, a cup final, a holiday. Anything that lifts our spirits and makes our problems go away. We're people in need of an anchor. frantically pulling at anything that looks like a rope. We can't live without the promise of hope. We can't hope without the promise of life. Everything else lets us down after all. Politicians fail, penalties are missed. Holiday plans get put on the red list. All of the ways that we try to find hope are like grasping a wet bar of soap. We need something better. A heavier anchor, deep in the rock, that never gives way no matter who dies. How scary the ocean, how stormy the skies. We need the promise of life everlasting and permanent grace. A world in which all of the worst things we face, the death and the tears and the pain and the sins, get taken away. Where hope conquers, life wins. Which brings us to Christmas, when word became flesh and God became human and hope got a name. The anchor was found in a crib, so small and so real that we could hold him, yet so solid and weighty and vast, so rooted in eternity's cast, that nothing in our future, present or past, could prevent him from holding us fast. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight, and the weary world rejoices at the thrill of hope. And we who have seen how the anchor will conquer the grave, and how deeply he loves, and how much it will cost him to save, we long for the day when the fears and the weariness sink into the sand, and the storm of sin and death is calmed forever. Leaving only the anchor, the solid rock, the unbreakable promise of a world made good.
Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The Magi are led by the star to Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. John unfolds the mystery of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We're almost at the end of our time together this evening, and there's just a few things that I want to say and to share with you. First of all, I want to thank you for coming along this evening and participating in our carol service. But there are a few people in particular who have worked really hard to make this evening happen. They're the people working in the background doing the unseen work of getting everything disinfected and cleaned after this morning's service and set out, and the church decorated, and we're grateful to them. Imogen and Peter are working away at the technology desk. But of course, I want to particularly highlight the preparation done by Alistair in leading us in our music, and Ruth, who's led us in the singing as well. And there are one or two others who are also prepared to be involved this evening, but amidst all the disruption and complications that we're getting used to, but we're grateful to them as well for their efforts in preparing music for us to enjoy together. And looking ahead, just to let you know that our plan at the moment, and of course that may change, is to have a service on Christmas Day at 10:30. That'll be a short all-age service here in the building, and you'd be very welcome to come along to that. And then on Boxing Day, which is a Sunday this year, we're actually going to have a service online via Zoom. And if you want to find out more about those services or what's happening in the life of this church, you can go to our website or our Facebook group and find out more, or grab someone here who looks like they belong here because they've been on the door, or myself, and be very happy to tell you more about any of those things. Now, it's traditional, I suppose, to finish a carol service with the carol that we've just sung. But this time I wanted to finish with that reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, that speaks of light and of darkness. And I'm conscious this year, perhaps more than ever, that many are heading towards Christmas with their minds clouded by worries and uncertainties and anxieties about the future. And I need to remind myself, and perhaps we all need to be reminded of that wonderful truth, that though there is darkness, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So let me leave you with these words as our benediction, as our service comes to an end. And let me wish you a very happy Christmas when it comes. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, The obedience of Joseph and Mary and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.